The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Off we go into a new week. Thanks for being with us. Tyzik is chairman of the board. If anything goes wrong, it's his fault. He'll screw this show up. Maybe. I am Brad Sessmatt. It has been a whirlwind week since we were last together. Some of it's heavy stuff. I know you come here and you want some sports, and I'm going to give you some sports. I'm not going to sit here and cheerlead unless it's needed and necessary. Our household suffered a major loss last week in the way of one of our family friends took their lives. And so this last week has been all about the why. I've been open about this on my social, and it's just one of those deals. There's no playbook. Why would somebody take their life that was close to our family? And so I'm going to start out the heavy and get it out of the way because I can. But this last week, I've just had a lot of head spinning moments, questions, sit there and just kind of like, what could I have done? And it's the guilt, it's the resentment, or it's just nothing. It's just being numb. So that happened to our family last Tuesday evening. Yeah. And this whole last week has just been like, whew. And the staff's been great. We as a team support each other through. There's stuff that you guys, when you see us all out doing our thing, we all have lives. There's all things that are going on, and it's just hard, you know? And so I was dealt some hard last week. And anyways, it's just one of those where, and I put it on social, the number of people that responded to say, this hit me too. We had a family member, or we had a friend, or we know somebody who knows somebody and all that stuff. So, you know, on our starting the conversation platform, I think I'm going to get a little bit heavier about it and just open up myself over on starting the conversation in the next week or so when I'm ready. This service will be this week. Our youngest son has been asked to speak at the service. That's going to be heavy. So there. Now, how can I just go to sports like that? Because I can't. I'm a paid professional. It is one of those deals where I could start with Ketel Marte, and I am going to start with Ketel Marte. As we sit here, the Diamondbacks have yet to announce a roster move. That Ketel Marte has been put back on the roster. It was reported by the Arizona Republic over the weekend that there was a meeting last week when the Diamondbacks are home at Chase Field still, and Erod and Arenado, Merrill Kelly, Corbin Carroll, among others, were in manager Tory Lavello's office. And management was in there as well, asking if Ketel should be back with the team. And they all said, reportedly, yes. So, and it would start tonight when he's off the injured list. And it's an enormous series against the Phillies. They are three back of the Phillies. The Cubs are right there for the taking. I could say here on the last day of August that if you get swept by Philadelphia, that your season is over. I could also say, no, you still have a chance to get in there. You just can't let San Diego or even Miami get by you. And for that, this is a playoff week. This is playoff. When people say, oh, baseball has too many games, it's boring, you just don't get the beauty of baseball. It's fine. Some people think that soccer, a 1-0 soccer match, is boring. Not me. I can see the intricacies that are taking place on the field and the change of momentum and all of that stuff. I don't need to have a 39-38 football game to be entertained. It's just me. Everybody's wired differently. Doesn't mean why my way is right, your way is wrong. It's just, so this is why baseball, they play 162, because every game matters. You don't have, for the most part, I bring this up with Ketel Marte, you don't have a game where a player decides to DNP, although Marte did, and evidently has done this before. You don't have load management in Major League Baseball. You don't. So you put all this together and you look at it and say, why not the Diamondbacks? They had Corbin Burnes and Zach Gallen throw over the weekend. What does that mean? Probably means they're a week away. Probably means, you know, a week from now we have a completely different conversation that they each get four starts. I think they've got to get to 90 wins the way things are going in the National League in the wild card race. I think 90 is the number to be in safely. And they have 138 games done. So you're sitting there with, what, 24 more to go. And that means being about, I don't know, 16-8. Somewhere around those lines they need to be to get to where they want to, which is in the postseason. It is the opening week of college football. Hallelujah. At least here in our state. There were some games over the weekend. And our industry, of course, makes a big deal out of a bunch of empty seats with USC against San Jose State because, well, it's pretty lazy. It's USC, it's August, school's not in session, and it's beach weather. USC has never been a place to go to in August for football games unless it's a big-time ranked opponent, which in this case it was not. That was not the highlight of the season. I thought the Big 12 took a real bad shot with Texas Christian University just looking pathetic against North Carolina. Bad look all the way around. Bad look that TCU is all excited about a media person reporting something, so they ban them. And then they go overseas and get smoked. That's bad. But this is a week where, you know, NAU played over the weekend. And they go to Tucson. The Wildcats are looked at as a team this year that should have a big season in front of them. There's no question that they should roll over NAU, but it's happened before. And the fact that the Lumberjacks have got a game under their belt, doesn't matter level of competition, they've got a little bit more cohesive. So the first half of the game, we're going to talk with John Wilner about it, Wilner Hotline. We'll preview a bunch of games here in a few minutes. I'm very curious to see how U of A comes out and plays right off the get-go. I was noticing my friend Greg Hansen wrote a column about how can they fill the stadium. They will never fill the stadium in Tucson. Greg writes for the Arizona Daily Star. There's two seasons in Tucson. It's called Midnight Madness in basketball, and it's called any other day in men's basketball season. Everything else just doesn't matter. So there may be 20,000, 30,000 people there. Doesn't matter how hard they try to get football going. If they sell out, fine. Arizona State plays Morgan State, and I don't have the nickname of Morgan State. That's bad of me, I guess. Sports guys are supposed to know this stuff. Kenny Dillingham, I was at the Arizona State football kickoff luncheon on Friday, and Kenny was overcome with emotion several times while he was at the podium. I don't know what was going on. I don't know if it was something personal. I don't know if it was something private. I don't know if it was something within the team. I've seen Kenny Dillingham speak before. And for those of you that were there that saw it, I've had quite a few people reach out and say, what the heck was going on with Kenny? I haven't texted Kenny and said, hey, what was going on with you there? But there was something going on. I don't know what, but there was definitely something going on. I hope everything's all right. Scotty Scheffler, you know, our industry, we like to say this guy's washed up, man. This guy, he's really not playing well. You know, this is who's the player of the year in golf? Well, it can't be Scotty Scheffler. How can you give it to a guy who's only won one tournament this year? And it's hours and hours and hours of going on and on and on about how. And I get it. You guys are trying to fill time rather than dig deeper than this. And is it a fair question to ask? Well, I don't know. How about you do your homework? So he won the FedEx Cup, won over the weekend. He won only one tournament. That's been the big argument. Well, he's only won once this year. Yeah, okay. So he's been in 17 tournaments. Let's see, 5 second-place finishes. So one win plus 5 is 6. And 11 top five finishes. 11. That equals 17. So what do you know? He gets out there every week and all he does is deliver. It's just not that hard. It really isn't that hard when you talk about players of the year and you go and dig deep. The Super Cardinals played at Green Bay. Their preseason is over. The Rams signed Aaron Donald. I am hoping that Carson Beck and Jacoby Brissett and Gardner Minshew have signed up on their life insurance policies to be extended, because when the Rams play the Cardinals, and on one side you have Myles Garrett, on the other side you have Aaron Donald. Oh my gosh. And you have to play them twice. You have to play them twice. So yeah, that's a lot. happens a lot. All right. We have Wilner on the other side on college football. And then we have in the cards a little bit later on over at Monster Card Shop, our partners there. Brand new basketball that has come out. Brand new basketball. It's high-end basketball, too. That's all straight ahead. I'm Brad Sussmat. Was Wilner Hotline. You can read all of his content on the website at sports360az.com. You can follow John over on X at Wilner Hotline and other great places. Are you doing your deal again, the podcast off to the side with Canzano? Are you doing that?
Yes, yes.
We will be. When is it?
Doing it. It's weekly. Canzano and Wilner, it's weekly. Probably will be available during the football season on Wednesdays or Thursday morning.
Okay, why is it not Wilner Canzano? Why, I am your agent here. Why is it not Wilner Canzano?
Yeah, he handles most of the production, so he should he should get top billing.
Oh, all right.
He's a big wig.
You're just there to break down everything that's going on in college football. So let's get to it. We finally have games to talk about. I don't care that there was nobody at the USC game. I really don't care.
Me neither.
Southern California. Yeah. I grew up in Southern California. It's a nice day. It's not a great opponent. So let's just move on. What I want to get into is games this week. So Deion Sanders, is he on a hot seat to start this season? Will Colorado ever put him on a hot seat? He's got a cakewalk game this week. What do you make out of Deion as the Buffs open this weekend?
He's I'd say it's pretty warm. I think there's a lot of folks wondering if he can actually coach at a high level without Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter on the roster. Last year was not a good indication that he can. You know, they were not any good. They haven't been able to put together a good offensive line during his tenure. He's had a lot of coaching changes. Their defense hasn't been very good. There's a lot of reason to wonder. His health is better, it seems, but there's a lot of reason to wonder if he is not even a long-term solution, but even an intermediate term solution, you know, the next 2-3 years. I think if they have a bad season, yeah, this could absolutely be it for him. And he may want to just walk away. He may just be done.
Right. And they are not the national TV draw. I think you had that note a few weeks back that the whole deal a couple of years ago, John and I are sitting here talking about Colorado is the must see game and big Fox's kickoff was all about Colorado. Everything was about Colorado. Now, poof, gone. We don't want
you. And that's that's actually a big deal for the Big 12 as well, because they were by far the conference's biggest TV draw. You know, many 5 million, 8 million, even some 10 million viewer games. Without Colorado at that level, the Big 12 does not have must-see TV school. And that actually has a lasting impact on the value of the conference. So either Texas Tech needs to become that or BYU. Colorado needs to kind of find its gear again. But the Big 12 needs that school where everybody's tuning in to watch.
Well, I can make an argument that Rich Rod over at West Virginia is one, because on the East Coast media doesn't pay much attention, especially in the northeastern part of our country. They don't really care about college football as much. Not to say they don't at Penn State, right? But West Virginia has not been relevant under Rich Rod so far. Is he going to feel some heat this year? Or is he just, you can't touch him because he's so West Virginia?
He's so West Virginia, you know, back for, this is year two of tenure two for him. And he did so much for the Mountaineers that in his first go round that, you know, they have forgiven his departure to Michigan and all that, all the circumstances. I think that if they don't get to a bowl game this year, that he will enter next season under a little bit of pressure, but he's not in danger of losing his job. If he can elevate them to what they were before, then yeah, they will become a national draw and potentially could fill that need for the Big 12. The Big 12 just needs a brand to emerge. A lot of people think Texas Tech has already. I'm not convinced that Texas Tech is a national brand yet. They are moving in that direction. BYU has a national following, but they need to win. They got to win at a high level this year and get in the playoff.
Well, and unfortunately for Rich Rod, Major Harris and Reggie Rembrandt are not walking through the front door.
Major Harris, good pull on the name.
Yeah, you know. What about over at Houston? Willie Fritz, there's been a lot of dark horse conversation around Houston. They need Oregon State. Oregon State's got a first-year head coach. Oregon State's gone through a lot of tough stuff. They're not in the Big 12, but Houston, do you buy Houston this year as a big one?
Yes, I do. I am a big buyer of Houston. I think Willie Fritz is one of the best low-profile coaches in the country. He's kind of a mini Cignetti. He won at multiple levels and now has gotten into the power conferences and, you know, they had a terrific year too. He's got a very good starting quarterback, Connor Wegman, and they have a lot of guys back, and I would not be surprised at all if they win the Big 12 or make the Big 12 championship game. They are certainly in that top group in my mind.
John Wilner with us, Wilner Hotline. He joins us every week. You can check out his content on the site, sports360az.com. Also, give John a follow. He's a great follow over on Wilner Hotline. You know, U of A, NAU. NAU has bit them before. NAU played over the weekend. They won. They had to come from three touchdowns down. They want to know how big of an advantage, if any, does that give NAU going to Tucson in a game that should be a rout, should be a runaway. No way the stadium sells out. I don't know how many Greg Hansen columns I have to read about will the stadium sell out. It never sells out. So do you think there's any shot that U of A is in trouble this week with Brent Brennan in their opener?
When in games like this, where you've got, you know, a power conference team against an FCS team that's already played, to me, that's a first half advantage for the underdog. Mm-hmm. NAU should be sharper for the first half, you know, and that to me, instead of it being a blowout early, you know, maybe it's close at halftime, but I certainly think Arizona's got a big advantage once we get out of halftime, last 30 minutes. You know, it should be a multiple touchdown win for Arizona, but you can't discount the game experience that NAU will have, at least, you know, for the first half of the game. If it's close all the way, then that's certainly a bad sign for Arizona, right? I mean,
Yes.
That's it's most teams. If you're a really good FBS team, you will take care of your business against the FCS.
Yeah, this is one of those you can't use a win as a win. You can't use, well, it's the first game and we're sloppy and we have to clean things up. I think those days, John, where you have boosters now paying players,
yeah,
they don't want to understand. It's 100% true what the coach is saying. They don't want to hear it. They just want to know why every week isn't 50 to nothing. And
that's true. And to me, the piece that I'm really curious about with Arizona is the secondary, because they've had to kind of overhaul. They lost all those guys to the draft. The secondary, number one, in terms of timing, cohesiveness, communication, offensive line is number one in terms of the importance of those elements. But the secondary is probably number two. Those guys have to know their assignments and know where each of them are, or else you have a breakdown and it's a touchdown. So to me, with a new secondary in the first game against a team that's already played, that's the area to watch for Arizona early on. Are they going to communicate? Are they going to have breakdowns that lead to wide open receivers and touchdowns?
A couple other questions to get you out of here talking with the great John Wilner. I know Morgan State is in Baltimore, or near Baltimore. I don't know their nickname. I know they're coming to Tempe. I know it's supposed to be over 100 degrees. I know that they're probably saying, what are we getting ourselves into? But it's first game for Kenny Dillingham this season. You got a transfer quarterback coming in. Usually first games are sloppy. The fans aren't going to want to hear it. You have to beat Morgan State by a ton. It's the same situation as Brent Brennan, right, this week?
It is. Gosh, I wish I knew Morgan State's nickname.
I mean, that doesn't make us very good at what we do. We don't know
Morgan State's
nickname. We're jokes.
You know, Morgan State was, that's where the former Cal basketball coach, Todd Bozeman, who coached the Bears when they had Jason Kidd, that's where he resurfaced after all the NCAA issues. So to me, the answer for ASU in this situation is easy. Run the ball, right? That takes pressure off Boley. You overpower Morgan State at the line of scrimmage, and you just totally dominate the ball, dominate the game, make it easy. if ASU gets in a position where they can't throw the ball or they can't run the ball effectively and they got to rely on their new quarterback, you know, then it's not dicey, but it's probably not as overpowering as ASU fans want this to be. So that, to me, that's the answer. Just dominate them at the point of attack on offense, and everything else falls into place from there. But like Arizona, you know, this should be a multiple touchdown final score, you know, whether it's 35-10 or something like that. It should not be close in the fourth quarter.
All right. One other question for you. As we sit here at the start of the season for both Arizona and Arizona State, two part, who wins more games and will the territorial cup mean anything other than bear down, cats lick themselves, forks up, you know, all the usual stuff that we've heard through the years that is just nonsense. I'm sure it's great for alums, but when your team stinks most every year, that's when you get the, we have a billboard up because we beat you. Yeah, they had two wins all year. So what? Who cares?
So I would say, I think the Territorial Cup, to answer the second part first, I think the Territorial Cup will have some stakes. I could see, you know, the Big 12, a berth in the Big 12 championship game being on the line for one of those two teams. Absolutely. That wouldn't surprise me at all. Not at all. Oh. Right. You know, if you see like, oh, there's three teams tied for second place or something like that.
Yeah.
And Arizona or Arizona State's one of those. Certainly they could be playing for a quality bowl game, you know, Vegas Bowl, Holiday Bowl, that kind of thing. I don't think it's going to be, you know, basically meaningless for both at all.
Will there be a coach on the line?
No.
Big prediction. No. No coach fired on this one.
No, I don't think we're not getting that at all. I think both of them are going to have winning seasons. Now, will either of them be winning 9 or 10 games? I don't know, but I could see them both being in that 7-8 win range. Who's got more? I would pick Arizona. The question I have for ASU is early in the season. I think going to A&M week 2 and then having to turn around and go to London after, that is a tricky back-to-back.
Those are two losses right now, John. Those are two losses.
I don't know that I would count London as a loss, but I could see it happening.
Yeah.
And you also don't know how that game event affects the team moving forward. Right. The post London few weeks. Now I know they got a bye coming back, but I'm curious about that. That is like an X factor in ASU season. And for Arizona, the X factor is you got to play BYU week 2. Right? BYU and Texas Tech are the preseason favorites in the Big 12. I think BYU is going to win the conference. How's Arizona going to do in that game going to Provo week 2? That is going to tell us a lot about the Wildcats' trajectory and whether they are going to be good enough to be in the race at the Territorial Cup.
I think the flip side of your argument, though, is you're right about the BYU game, but if you look at the games following that, it's pretty much cupcake city for 2-3 weeks.
They do have a pretty soft schedule. Yes.
Yeah, in September.
Yes.
They could be sitting there at 4-1 and a loss at BYU, depending on how it goes, is not a bad one. Flip side of the coin is you win at BYU and Noah Fifita has a big game. He's a Heisman candidate in October.
Then, absolutely. It's a huge platform for them. And, you know, that's a good point because so much of how these seasons go, not just for Arizona ASU, but all the teams, is based on who you miss in the conference schedule rotation. Yes. And there are some huge variances in all of the power conferences between who you draw and who you don't draw. I mean, you know, Ohio State, just an example, they got Oregon, they got USC, Indiana, and Michigan this year, as an example, right? Whereas I think it's Penn State, they don't play Ohio State or Oregon or Indiana. So, and the same thing happens in the Big 12. If you've got Texas Tech and BYU, your schedule is a lot different than the team that doesn't have either of them. Kansas State, I don't think, plays either of them. So you got to watch that piece of it that we never really had to account for before realignment.
I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time and insight as always. Have a great week, John. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
And we're back with more after this timeout. All right, in the cards, Kyle Reno, Monster Card Shop. If you've not been to the Monster Card Shop, it is spectacular. It is homegrown, home feel, a lot of cool stuff there. And on top of that, there's cool stuff to talk about even here in the hot days of August, because we have two products today, Mr. Reno. We have Topps 25-26 Motif Basketball. Let's start there. Topps 25-26 Motif. Beautiful looking box. Tell me about Motif.
So that product is interesting. It's a little bit under the radar. It's an expensive product that Topps is starting to bring out as kind of like an annual release, higher end product. And what they've done with basketball is they have put game used logo men in the product from veterans. And why that's important is because there's not a lot of that stuff out anymore. They don't make a lot of the game use NBA logo man cards. And Motif is one of the very few products out that you can actually get one of those. And so that's one of the chases. Obviously, the big rookies are still a big chase. But those game use logo men flying under the radar, I think those are going to be your big chase. And I don't think a lot of people knew that they were in this product.
Okay, so Cooper Flags, obviously, going to be the one at the top. There's a lot of different Cooper Flags that we were able to get shots of. These are the cards, are beautiful cards, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean...
LeBron,
Coop, and you know who's caught up and passed Khan as the second best-selling rookie is Dylan Harper. His stuff is starting to explode on the card market. Dylan Harper is a guy that people believe in, except for his head coaches, apparently. But in the card market, we believe in him. And his stuff has absolutely skyrocketed, even post-playoffs. And he's passed Khan as the second-best collectible rookie, price-wise, on the market now.
How about this one of Steve Nash? You know, there's some here that's... Isn't that the coolest looking card?
That's an amazing.
You mentioned the price point. Yeah, I mean, the price point is rich. What I saw was $3,000.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
So it's tough because everything seems to come out at a really high price these days. Even your base products seem to be going up to $500-$600 a box. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that these logo men are in here is what drove the price up and what Fanatics / Topps felt would be the reason for this pricing. Listen, Motif annually is not a set people are like, hey, let me go out. I cannot wait for Motif. And
yeah,
they changed it this year by adding those logo men. And I think that it's going to be kind of reflective of tier one baseball for those of you collectors who are watching. Tier one is kind of just known for bat knobs and bat barrels, where what they're doing with Motif is they're going to make it the brand where they have these veteran game use logo men.
Well, and I think if you're into the sport, and into the collective side, I can see where someone would say $3,000, that's a deal, because you look at these cards, if you're able to hit on a few of them, it pays for itself, right?
Yeah, every box is bad until you get the good one, right?
right.
Like, it's like, you know, you pull that Wemby auto, you pull the Curry auto, the LeBron, any logo man is worth the price of a box for NBA cards. So any of that, obviously you're up. I think that they did an incredible job of making this product look clean, and the autos pop and then the different colors pop on the white card. So I'm a fan. I like the product. I am curious as to what the collector is going to think maybe 5, 6, 7 days post-release. Every release day, they're excited. I'm curious to see how long the excitement lasts for Motif.